Oh no, what are we gonna do?
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris. Ah, shit, John's not here. So, John works a lot, and we tried really hard to come together this week to record a show, and Sunday was Mother's Day, so we put it off because I needed to treat my wife to a nice dinner, make her feel special for the mom that she is. And we were going to try it on Monday, and John has a really crazy schedule and texted me at 4 o'clock in the afternoon saying he had just gotten home from work after being there all night and needed to get some sleep. So I said, please, by all means, go get some sleep. We'll try again tomorrow. And now today is Tuesday and he is working again. So, since the show comes out on Wednesday, instead of not putting anything up, and not putting up stuff that we've already done, because I fucking hate that. Because if you've heard it already, you don't want to hear it again. Or you could go back and listen to the whole show. This is episode 160, so, you know, I'm sure that if you've hung in this far, you've probably listened to all the good stuff anyway. So before I get to what we're gonna do this week, we always do this at the end, so I figured since John's not here and he's not distracting me, we can go ahead and give all the other information first. So if you ever want to get in contact with us, you can send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at dancemonkeypod. You can go to our Facebook page. If you look up Dance Monkey Dance Podcast, you'll find us. And you know, let us know what you want to hear. If you guys have ideas of what you guys want to hear us talk about, by all means, send us an email. All right. With that being said, the big news this week, actually the big news that happened today, Tuesday, is the very, very first photo of the new bat suit that Ben Affleck's going to wear, and the new Batmobile came out. And I figured since I was going to bring it up if John was able to do the show, but since he's not, I'll talk about it anyway. I kind of like the bat suit. I think it looks kind of cool. It's very comic book looking, which is a departure from the Nolan films. The Nolan films suit was very tactical. It was very functional. It looked like something that could actually exist in the world, and this is very, very comic book looking. This is, when they said it was inspired by Jim Lee, they weren't kidding. Little short horns on the cowl, big beefy looking Batman, not the Christian Bale kind of thin but built Batman, but like Affleck's arms look huge in this photo, and I don't know if it's padding or whether he actually bulked up for this, but it looks pretty good. The Batmobile, not so much. Now, we've only kind of seen the tail end of it with a cloth over it and a kind of side shot. And one of the guys that I work with was saying that it looks kind of like the 1989 Keaton Batmobile. And maybe they're hearkening back. Maybe they think that that's what people want to see. And instead of doing something new, they're not redoing, but they're taking their styling cues from another Batmobile. So it was where the Tumbler was very functional looking. You know, this is very comic book looking. So I'm trying to reserve judgment to see what else they show us with the Batman Superman film starting to film in Detroit this week. That, you know, we're bound to see more things. You're talking about revealing the Wonder Woman outfit. it'd be nice to see Affleck next to Henry Cavill and see what they look like together. But we're just gonna have to wait and see. Star Wars started shooting today in Abu Dhabi, and it's interesting to think that by the end of the week there'll be a Batman film, a Star Wars film, and an Avengers film, all being shot around the world at the same time. Very, very exciting time to be a geek. Okay, so speaking of being a geek, back in November of this past year, I was a panelist here in Charleston at a convention called Atomicon, and I probably mentioned it on the show. And I took my camera and I shot a bunch of stuff, and I had a card failure, which meant I lost all the footage. But being the anal retentive nutbag that I am, I actually recorded all the audio to a field recorder, which is something that a lot of people do. But what it did, it ensured I had a backup of the audio. And I've been sitting on this for a while because I didn't just want to do a podcast and put it up that was just this until I had a reason. And we've been pretty consistent with the episodes. I think we've only missed 2 weeks, maybe, in the last 3 years, 4 years, however long it's been. So since John's not here, I figured I'd kind of walk you through it. You can listen to some of the interviews I did. I only did three because it was going to be mixed into footage, kind of like we did at MegaCon. But, of course, I kind of lost that footage, so whoops. So the first person that I talked to is a guy that lives here in Somerville, South Carolina, which is one town over from where I live, and he is an R2-D2 builder. He's one of those guys that actually goes and builds his own R2 unit, makes him radio-controlled, and goes around to, like, kids' hospitals or whatever, or functions that have to do with Star Wars, and it was interesting. It was very good looking. I wish I had a picture of it, but I don't have the footage. Looked just like R2. It lit up, head spun, made noises, all the stuff that you'd come to expect, probably more than what the one that they use in the movie does, because of course it has to be functional for these guys, where in a movie setting, you don't want the thing to make sound. You want to dub all that in later. You want to lay down a soundtrack with the boops and beeps and the servos and everything like that. In this case, it's just, it does it all. And I think, I want to say it reacted, like I took some, as I was taking video, there were people taking pictures, and I want to say like it turned its head when the picture was taken, like it might have been reactive to the flash or something. Anyway, so I talked to this guy, and this is what he had to say.
My name is Edward Reed, and I'm from Somerville, South Carolina.
And you are part of?
I'm part of the R2 Builders Club.
And you built the R2 that's sitting behind you?
I did. It took me about 2 years to build this one using some plans and parts from parts runs at astromech.net.
And you said it took you 2 years. If somebody wants to get into this, what are they looking at, like, possible ways to build their own R2?
Well, it depends on what you build it out of. There are a couple different ways to go. Styrene, wood, aluminum. Also a mix. The more affordable is the styrene, but tends to take a lot more work. If you buy parts like wood and aluminum parts, it makes it a little bit quicker, but sometimes you have to wait a long time for the parts to be produced. But mine, I probably have about $6,000 in. The full aluminum droid, some people spend $10,000 to $20,000 building one.
So what's yours made out of?
Mine is actually a mixed mutt. It's a wood frame and wood legs with styrene skin, a lot of resin parts, some aluminum details on the legs. So it's mostly styrene. This is actually a styrene dome with rub and buff to make it look like aluminum.
Okay. And do you have a website where people can...
Astromech.net is the main site, and our forum where you can read about how to build an R2-D2 or any other droid from the movies.
So before we go on to the next interview, I just wanted to talk a little bit about a guy that died today, somebody who was very influential in my childhood and that is H.R. Giger. And he is the artist that's responsible for the look of the Alien movies. He was the guy that Ridley Scott saw his work and said, you need to come design the creature for Alien. You've probably seen some of his artwork. He's really, I don't want to say demented because that's the wrong word, but he had a very specific style, very kind of Hellraiser looking. And he died today, and everybody should go check out his work if you haven't before. So the next guy that I talked to is a member of the 501st Legion. And if you're not a Star Wars geek and you don't really know what that is, the 501st Legion is a group of guys and women who make their own stormtrooper armor. The 501st refers to the group that protects Darth Vader. Now, I don't know why a Sith Lord needs protection, but apparently he does. And in, I don't know if it's the comic books or I don't think it's ever said in any of the movies, but the 501st is his personal like garrison. And these guys dress up, they raise money for people, they do all this work, but you have to have your own armor, and it's got to be, I think it's got to be approved. I can't remember what this guy said. Again, if I only had the footage. Anyway, if you go to 501st.com, you can kind of see what they look like in their stormtrooper outfits, and get an idea of what they do. And they're always talking to kids. They're at every convention I think I've ever been to. There's always a 501st, I don't want to call it a detachment, whatever it is, it's a 501st group. Like I said, if you go to 501st.com, 501st.com, you can check out their stuff. And this is what he had to say.
Hi, I'm Tom Gardner, TK5940. I'm the Carolina Garrison CO of the 501st Legion.
And what is the 501st Legion?
501st Legion is actually an all-costume or Star Wars costuming group. We're worldwide. We've had over 10,000 members come through the door. We average about 6,500 active members. We do a lot of charity work. Make-A-Wish is one of our biggest things, but we do cons, we do hospital events, but it actually started in Columbia, South Carolina, if you can believe that. One man, one dream, basically just go to a Star Wars movie and dress up as a stormtrooper, and from that it snowballed, and then we got a bunch of people like this guy and me walking around in Tupperware, so.
And how does one become part of the 501st?
Well, it's a simple thing. I mean, basically you have to have a 501st approved costume, which is basically the bad guys, and you have to be age 18, and that's about it. I mean, it goes through a costuming approval process, but and to stay active, you have to do at least one troop a year. You can do a lot more than that, but that's the minimum. Well, I mean, everybody, I typically want somebody to look and do as much research as possible, but there is websites. The 501st actually has detachments, which are forums that help you with each different costume. Like, there's one for this guy right here, which is a biker scout, which is pathfinders.net. Okay, I thought it was Pathfinder. Okay. Bikerscout.net. If you're going to be a stormtrooper, you want to go to whitearmor.net, and you'll sign up. It's absolutely free. Go there. Do as much research, much reading as possible. Ask questions. And before long, you'll buy whatever you need, all the parts. You'll get these little brown boxes in. It'll be like Christmas for you. And then you'll be gluing them, cutting them, sewing them, and everything together. And before long, you'll be then taking some pictures, sending them to your local group. And next thing you know, you'll be picking out your ID number to be 501st.
What is a typical stormtrooper costume cost?
Well, about an average of about $1,000, but that's not all out of your pocket at once. That's just like after everything, like your glue, your time, shipping cost, sandpaper, yeah, the trips to Home Depot. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, and it boils down to if you can do a lot of the work yourself, it saves you money. I've known guys that have done it about maybe $700, maybe even less, but it averages about $1,000. It can go up. I mean, I know guys, I mean, like if you buy something like this job right here, which is a decommissioned British Sterling submachine gun, it's going to run you around $500 itself, and that's what they originally used in the movie, and it's pretty heavy. I mean, you don't have to go to Gold's Gym anymore. You just carry this thing. So it's about 25 pounds. So, but, you know.
And how do you guys feel about when people that dress up as stormtroopers but, like, modify it to be something crazy?
Well, I actually, if they're... It's like this. If they have a dream to do something fun, I mean, we've got 501st members that do their football or baseball or something like that. I think it's wonderful. Yeah, the Muppets. I do like a zombie stormtrooper, which is right there. Which there was a novel that I've got a whole suit that's just the mannequin or the head part right there. I do a prosthetic and everything, but it's 501st approvable because there's enough reference material for it. But if somebody just wanted to do something for fun, it's perfectly fine. This is a hobby. You're supposed to have fun, so. More information about the local group, you want to go to carolinagarrison.net. If you want to know about the 501st Legion as a whole, you want to go to 501st.com, 501st.com. And from that point, you can actually find, if you're not from the Carolinas, you can find your local group or local 501st from that front webpage.
So I was just looking at the 501st site. And I typed in South Carolina, and there is a real huge range of the different kinds of costumes these guys wear. Everything from Sand People to Darth Maul to TIE Fighter pilots, Darth Vader, Biker Scouts, Clone Troopers, Dark Troopers, Imperial Gunners. They have Imperial Officers. Sand people, like female sand people. That's interesting. The Emperor's Guard, lots of Darth Mauls, lots of Boba Fetts, a couple of Jawas. That's interesting. A couple of TIE pilots. So it ranges the whole gambit of Star Wars fandom. And if you're one of those guys, you can always contact them to kind of steer you in the right direction. How do you get, you know, the costumes, and where do you get your armor and all that kind of good stuff. So finally, I talked to Frank Parker from a group called Farragut Films, and they are a Star Trek fan film organization, and they're a little different than most fan film people. Like, I've made fan films before. John and I have done fan films for stuff, and these guys take it to a whole nother level. So their website is called farragutfilms.com, and they make Star Trek, the original series era short films and episodes based around the Starship Farragut. And if you go to starshipfarragut.com, STARSHIP FARRAUGUT, Farragut.com, you can actually watch some of the episodes, and they have like a CG person who does all their space shots, and, you know, on the budget that they have, pretty damn good. You can download an episode called The Captaincy, and you can look at some of the photos and downloads and some of the stuff that they have. But I talked to him about his involvement with Farragut Films, and this is what he had to say.
Hi, my name's Frank Parker. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. And what I'm doing at our particular Atomic-Con is I'm helping promote Farragut Films and the information that we have in our facility down in Kingsland, Georgia.
Tell me about the movies that you produce.
Hi. Well, what Farragut Films produces is the original Star Trek series with a different ship. We're using a ship called the USS Farragut. It is based in the original series time frames. We have produced seven films at the present time, two animation plus other short films plus two longer films. We have a production facility in Kingsland, Georgia, which is 10,000 square feet, and we have recreated the actual Studio 9 in the TOS era that Desilu had back in the day.
How long do most of the productions usually run for?
The productions, usually we shoot for a full week for regular production. The last one that we had, which was Price of Anything, we actually shot for a week in October 2 years ago, and then we had some production time out in California because we needed a desert scene. So basically each production depends on the length it's going to be and the complexity. So.
Okay, and where do you get your volunteers from?
Everything that we do is volunteer. We make no profit whatsoever. We cannot make a profit on it. This is basically a group of fans making films for fans. It comes out of donations, our own personal pockets. Everybody's a volunteer. If people would like to volunteer, our website is starshipfarragut.com. And on there, there's some information. If you would like to get in touch with anyone on that site, they would be able to give you information on how to get involved. If you want to get involved with construction, you would get in touch with Michael Bednar. His information is on the website. If you want to get involved with any type of acting, you would contact our personnel director, and that would be Holly Bednar, and she is also listed on the website, and that is starshipfarragut.com.
So I know this has been not a typical Dance Monkey Dance episode. I didn't piss anybody off this week like John always says I do. And hopefully John and I can get together next week and put out a new episode. I know this one's kind of short and I apologize, but like I said, I didn't want to leave you guys hanging because we appreciate everybody that listens. We appreciate everybody that writes in and the people that have gone and watched our videos and listened to our podcasts. And we seem to be growing in numbers, and that's awesome. We're trying to, you know, we've talked about sponsors and things like that, and when the time comes, we're going to find a way to include, like, those sponsor reads and things like that on the down low. Kind of give them their money's worth, but not shove it in your face. I'm never going to be one of those guys that puts commercials in the middle of the podcast. We've talked about like advertising with Audible, but Audible makes you cut in the middle and talk about a book. And I don't want to do that. I feel like that's just cheating or whatever. So, you know, we really appreciate everything you guys do with listening and interacting with us. And, we're still planning something big for episode 200, but we still have 40 episodes. So, we have some time, but we're already in the planning stages. So, but like I said before, if you guys want to email us, you can always send an email to info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can listen to us on Stitcher if you don't want to download us. Stitcher is a streaming app that is available on the iPhone. I don't know about the Android. I'm assuming they do. If you just type in Dance Monkey Dance, you can find us. You can download us on iTunes. You can download us from the website, which is dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can find all 159 other episodes there, from our humble beginnings to what we didn't know what we were going to talk about, to the movie podcast that we do with Mark, which should be coming back soon. We're getting into the summer again, so I think I'm going to try that again. And, you know, a bunch of stuff coming up, and we're really excited for it, and we hope you guys will come along for the ride. So until next week, this is Chris. Have a good week. Bye-bye.